Today's scripture reading is from Ruth chapter 1, verse 8 through 18. Then Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them goodbye, and as they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand is turned against me." As at this they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. Then Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and to her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you and to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me when it is ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Thank you. Is Nancy Graven back there today? She's not? Okay. Well, she's still not getting this card then that I've been trying to give her for 3 weeks. So I'll just continue to hold on to that until another day. Well, it is Mother's Day, so of course I'm going to talk to moms, I'm going to talk to grandmas, I'm going to talk to great-grandmas. I'm very inclusive in my mothering here today. But I also want to talk to the rest of us who surround moms and grandmas and great-grandmas. We're all included in this conversation and needed. Moms, we celebrate you and we give God thanks to you. We give God thanks for you. You do so much to keep us all from just wandering aimlessly off a cliff as we might do without you. And so thank you for that. You give support and care and direction and love, and you ask for absolutely nothing in return. Nothing. You are the poster girl for altruism, right? That's what you are. All you do is give, give, and give, and all that giving without ever taking anything in return just brings you so much joy, right? So much joy. Isn't that true, ladies? Amen. I hear some grumbling. Okay, so there are likely seasons in your life where you thought that was true, right? Where you could have done that. You might have even thought you were capable of that, of just giving and giving and giving and never needing anything in return. And you might have felt a little bit guilty when you finally realized that wasn't the case, when you needed some love back and some attention back and some care back. Truth is, moms need love too. Yeah, that's right. Thoroughly behind that one. There we go. They need care and they need help. And without experiencing those things, mom can struggle in life just like the rest of us tend to struggle. All of us have this love and confidence tank, right? And that tank needs to stay pretty full in life. We really want that to stay full. And keeping the tank full is not only about what you receive from others, but ladies, we also know it's about what you believe about yourself as well that matters and all that. And so you need to be loved, but then you also need to know that you are worthy of that love. And when the love and confidence tank stays full, you can deal with all the things in life that you're struggling with. You believe that you have the agency to forgive others and also the grace to ask for forgiveness, because there'll be days you need to ask for that forgiveness. You have a level of joy that allows you to handle some disappointments in life and know that it's not the end when you accidentally disappoint somebody else, because there are going to be those days where you do, even though you didn't mean to, you will. You know, though, that underneath it all, you're a good mama, you're a good grandma, you're a good spouse, you're a good friend. You know that. And you just give enough time to those relationships that you have in your life, kind of as they need you and as you need them, right? You got that balance going. Your time and your presence is a good gift to other people, and there's just no need to doubt that. You just know that's true. Amen. That's where we go. I got some talking today. Good deal. So when we're able to confidently, lovingly do all those things, it's because you have some self-love, some self-compassion, and some self-belief. You got some of those things going. Moms, you really want that tank to be pretty full most of the time in your life. Now, if your tank is gushing up over the top and spilling out everywhere, then you may have become a little too ego-driven, which I don't see very often than the ladies in my life, but a little too self-infatuated when we begin to spill out over the top. But if the tank gets too low, if it gets low, then you spend all your time kind of in self-loathing and doubt, kind of loathing your existence and the relationships and the commitments you feel like you've got to keep. And when that happens, when it gets low, you're going to struggle to forgive other people. You'll always feel disappointed by others in those relationships, that they're not enough. You will lack confidence in who you are and the love that you're able to give and the love that you're able to provide to people. And so when the love and confidence tank gets really low, I mean, sometimes that means that you might be struggling with some depression. And at the very least, you're in a rut, right? You're in a rut place in life. And I want you to know that you really don't want to spend a large amount of time in a rut if you don't have to, because it's harmful for you, mental health and physical health, all those things. You want to get out of that rut because it's not good to spend 5 years, 10 years, 20 years of life in a rut. And yet sometimes we do that. Life is too short to stay in that rut for too long. And that might have been Naomi's plan in our scripture lesson that was read to us, right? That's what was kind of going on with Naomi. In fairness to Naomi, she had suffered great loss in her life. Great loss. In a short amount of time, she lost her husband. And then she lost her two sons. And her husband had convinced her to move from Bethlehem to Moab during a great famine. That's a big move back in those days for folks to do. And this was a very risky move, to leave the people and go to a place where they would be foreigners. They were foreigners in a different land. But they did it in hopes of finding food. They had two little boys to feed. And so the dad said, I think this is what we need to do to feed the family. Make this move. Now, when her husband died, she was very fortunate to have two sons there who would take care of her and who had married themselves. Both of her sons had wives. Now, those wives weren't from Israel. They weren't Israelites. They weren't from Bethlehem. They were from a different country, a different land. But when her sons both died, she had no more support. In those days, it would be very difficult for a widowed woman far from her family to get help of any kind. And so she made the decision she was going to leave Moab, where she had spent time. She's going to go back to Bethlehem. And the passage said that she had not been home for the last 10 years. For 10 years, they'd lived in Moab. Now, while on her way back with her two daughter-in-laws, something washes over her. And this is where our scripture passage begins, because they're on the road, right? And we aren't exactly sure what happened or why it happened. And maybe it was compassion for the girls, and she started thinking about the girls, and oh my gosh, what if? Or fear of, you know, what if I can't take care of them? Now these are my dependents. And so she has this moment on the road, and she says, girls, go home. Go back to where you came from, not Moab. Go back to your homeland, to your people. Go back there. And they were going back with her to begin with. They were on the road to begin with because there was a custom in those days. It was customary. The custom was that if a woman had married a man and they had not had children before she was widowed at a young age, then she would be married to her husband's relative, another man in the family. Now, probably not a custom that any woman today would be thrilled about doing, right? Yeah. You're like, Pastor, you obviously don't know my husband's family very well, or, you know. But in those days, 3,000 years ago, that was the equivalent of welfare. I mean, it's just the equivalent of how families and communities looked out after each other, because the government wasn't writing you a check. And so it was like, well, here's your choice. If you had to choose between homeless and hungry, or your late husband's cousin Ricky, right? You'll be thankful for cousin Ricky that worked out. And so this custom was appropriately named a kinsman redeemer. A kinsman redeemer. A kinsman or a family member of the son of the man who will redeem or honor the pledge you made to a family member. Right? So it's that family keeping their son, their family member's pledge to you and your family, that they will always supply for you. They will redeem the pledge that he made. Kinsman redeemer. Now, Naomi was not hopeful that she could come up with a kinsman redeemer for her two widowed daughter-in-laws. She was doubting that. And perhaps she was even thinking about her options on the way home when she said, girls, don't come back with me. Go back home. Go to your family. The mother-in-law likely thought one of two things. She either thought, what if I can't find family members to marry these two young girls? Like, what if they're just not there anymore? It's 10 years ago. What if there aren't any? And so almost like a mercy for them. Or she thought, what if these girls become like destitute and poor, and we're all destitute and poor together? And it's not just me now. Now it's me and these two other girls trying to figure out how to make it. I'm stuck caring for them. Now, we don't know her motivation. We don't know which way she was thinking. Either way, she told them, leave and go home. Don't stay with me. Don't come back to Israel with me. Now, which one did and one did not, right? One girl immediately wept, hugged her mother-in-law, turned around, went home. The other stayed. Ruth said to her mother-in-law, I would rather be cursed by God than leave your side. May God deal with me ever so severely and harshly if I leave you. Naomi has to be running on an empty love and confidence tank, right? Mom's running on an empty love and confidence tank to send away the only two girls, the only family that she has known for the last 10 years. And so her daughter-in-law has her own pain, having lost her husband, but she sees the pain in her mother-in-law's face, who she's loved and cared for, and she chooses to stay by her side, to love and support her regardless of what the future holds. I will stand by you. So in the end, fast forward to the end of the story, Naomi relents. She allows Ruth to come back with her to Bethlehem. They go to Bethlehem together. The book of Ruth has a happy ending, but not without trials and challenges. And doesn't that make a good book anyways? Isn't that a good story? Happy ending, but lots of challenges, lots of difficulties to overcome. And perhaps there are some moms and some grandmas, some great grandmas in this room, and you today, you can relate to Naomi in the book of Ruth. You can relate to that last statement. You've had some pretty difficult challenges and losses lately too. Your love and confidence tank, it's kind of dropped a little bit. It's kind of low. So let's together talk about some ways to build up that tank now. Three things that Naomi had to do in order to get her happy ending. Three things that you probably need to think about, because it's not too late for your happy ending either, even though things might feel like it. The first thing, you have to be willing to receive love and support from people who are offering. That's the first thing that you need to do. And really, Naomi wanted love and support from her husband and her two sons. That's who she wanted. Her husband and her two sons, but they were gone. And so there's a lot of grief in that. Grief that Naomi no doubt had to express, get that grief out, grief that would change her. She's going to be a different woman than the woman she was before. After all, those are her two boys, her husband. And so there was a temptation to send away her daughter-in-laws for whatever reason, right? But the truth is she needed someone in that moment to love and support her. That's what she needed. She needed Ruth to take a stand, to stay by her side, to help. Moms, sometimes when the love and confidence tank gets low, you might make the mistake of begin to thinking to yourself, well, I'm not a big deal. I'm not a big deal. I don't matter. I don't know if I'm needed anymore. These might be thoughts that kind of echo through your head. And that's a lie. Those things are lies that you tell yourself when you're maybe laying on your back at the bottom of the tank looking at the top of the tank. You do matter. You are important. You are needed. And if you don't begin to think differently, if you don't begin to change your tune there, then you'll begin to communicate to other people around you that you really don't matter. And that, you know, it's okay to treat you as such. Sometimes that's what we do in our behavior. We give people permission to treat us the way we treat ourselves. You do matter. You are important. You still have things to do. There we go. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." And so God has called, he has placed purpose in you. And he calls you to be confident in the good thing that he has placed in you, Christ in you. You can be confident in that. Now, deep grief, it needs to have a season in our lives. When you've experienced great loss, yes, you're going to experience grief, but God will place loving, supportive people in your life if you're paying attention to what's going on around you. Make sure that you aren't dismissing the love and care of people who really want to help you. Be careful you aren't sending people away who have been called to love and support you during a season of your life, which lends naturally to the second thing I saw Naomi do to get her happy ending, to fill that love tank. Naomi had to choose to be with someone instead of being alone. Now, I'm guessing Naomi really wanted to be alone. And we can all relate to that. Right? We can all, yeah. Sometimes I just want to be alone. But you kids go away. Yeah, there we go. So grief oftentimes, it leaves us with a sense of loneliness. It's just natural. When you have grief, you experience loneliness. And especially when you've lost somebody of great importance in your life, that your life kind of revolved around. And so we can easily spend a lot of time being sad and alone. And once again, there's a time for that. There's a season for sad and alone. Naomi likely wanted to do the right thing for her girls, but in some ways, she was pushing them away. She was pushing them away. Ladies, pay attention to that. Take notice if you have been pushing people away lately in your behavior, in your words, in your actions. Pay attention to your love and confidence tank and how that might be affecting your behavior and your choices in life. Don't choose to be alone all the time. Find ways to be with other people. I went and visited a friend a few weeks ago. It is a friend from childhood who's facing some really hard times in life. There's some really hard things he's struggling with. And he's my age. He's moved in with his mom. And she's in her late 70s. And not really where he wants to be. He's still fortunate, though, to have somebody, to have a family member who'll take him in during a challenging time. Now, his mom, when I talked to her, she lost her second husband 15 years ago. She lost him. Now, she told me she had a neighbor, as it worked out, and he had lost his wife around a little bit later in time. And they were actually able to bond together over that kind of mutual loss and be good friends and companions, which worked really well until a couple years ago when he passed away. So now she's opened up her home to her son, my friend, and they're able to be family together. Once again, it's not the family that either one of them thought they would have right now. Like, he didn't think that he would be with his mom, and she didn't think that she would live with her son at her age, but they're the family that they have now. They're a family that has each other, and they're going through some life things together. Ladies, make sure that because your love and confidence tank is getting lower, that you aren't pushing people away and maybe creating some of your own loneliness, that you're not fostering that. Develop friendships and companionships, even maybe in unlikely places where you didn't expect, because you deserve love and friendship. You need love and friendship. So don't push those folks away. The last thing Naomi did that led to her happy ending was to keep having hope that God's goodness and provision was coming. Don't give up hope. Don't give up hope. Naomi's greatest concern for her girls was around her inability to provide them a kinsman redeemer, a husband, a provider. In her grief, Naomi doubted. She had doubt in her extended family. Like, I left them 10 years ago. What if they're mad at me because I left? What if they shun us? She doubted God. She even said it like, God's obviously not looking upon me too favorably. Like, I've evidently done something to make him mad. And so I don't know that I can rely upon him when we head back home. And she doubted herself. She was like, look, I'm older. I'm a widowed woman. Like, what power or ability do I have to make this thing happen? Like, what if I can't make this happen? And so Mom was afraid. She didn't have much hope that things would get better. And yet, she didn't turn away the love and support of a loved one. She didn't do that. And yet, she didn't choose to walk the road alone. She let her daughter-in-law come with her. And surprise of all surprises, God provides his daughter-in-law, Ruth, with a kinsman redeemer. A wonderful kinsman redeemer. A family member who redeems the pledge that was made to Ruth that she would always have who she needed and what she needed in life. And as it turns out, if we were to read the rest of Ruth, we would find that Naomi, her mother-in-law, was absolutely key and instrumental in developing that relationship. Absolutely key. Turns out Mom had greater power and influence and ability than she gave herself credit for as they got on that road together to go back home to Bethlehem. Moms, you have maybe seen some difficulties. You have likely experienced some hurt. And you may be in amidst some great challenge right now. But don't give up hope. Don't give up hope that God is looking after you, that he will provide for you, that you will have the happy ending, the happy storybook ending. One that honors the promises that you've made and kept in your life, that honors the love and support that you have freely given and freely received. Moms of all ages, we want your love and confidence tank to be high. Really, we want it to be up here, because when it's high, you are at your best, and you're faithfully serving Christ, and you're recognizing the gift of Christ within yourself and that blessing, and it's radiating out of you in your care and love for others. God has a calling upon your life. He has people he wants you to love and support and to walk beside. And those people will have their own struggles and their own hurts and their own issues, their own problems. And it will take all the love and confidence that God has invested in you to walk beside them during those times in their life. And so please make sure you're finding ways through faith and fun and love to keep your tank full. Try to keep that tank up. In our house, Mama wanted to go to the lake this weekend, right? That's what Mama wanted, so that's where Mama's at. Mama's at the lake with our daughter who just got out of school, and they're having their weekend because that's what keeps Mama's tank full. And so, ladies, some days you got to prioritize that yourself. You got to say, this is what I want in this season right now, in order for my tank to be full, to give all that I'm able to give. So before I pray, for all the mamas in the house, one more time, we need to give some extra encouragement to all those ladies out there who needed this sermon, right? Because there are some of you today, I know you needed this sermon. And so can we all show some applause and appreciation for our mamas? Yes, very good. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for moms who give so much of themselves. And Lord, sometimes they give away more than they had, and that tank gets low, and they need that love and support. And so, Lord, for all my ladies here who have an empty tank or a really low tank, I pray that this morning, Lord, you kind of get a hold of them, and you help them kind of refocus, and to not turn people away who love them, who want to be with them, that you would help them find unlikely friends in different places, and that they wouldn't give up hope, that you were still doing a good thing. You were still God in their lives and in our lives, and you carry us through difficult times. And we love you for that. It's our testimony, Lord. It is our testimony of your constant provision and goodness in our lives when you help us through the struggle. So we give those things to you, Lord. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.